her full nail, her fur name. I words. I can math. Yep. I can talk too.
Her fur nail.
We're going math and talk about fur nails.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
For this week, we're back with our classes stuff that we started last month. I don't know why that was hard.
Yeah. I don't either.
We're talking druids with Eris Savad. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. It's been a great day. It's been very productive.
Yeah.
But druids.
But druids.
Druids.
I love me some druids, guys. You have no idea.
Man, I love the concept of druids. I think they're great. I think I played one once in a one shot, and I like turned into a bear.
That's
that was
about
really cool.
What I've done with it also.
Yeah, but that's about the extent that I know about druids.
I mean, but that's really like the defining. That's beautiful.
Yes.
I love that.
That's good. Oh, yep. Damn. Now I have regrets.
You could do anything as a druid.
You're the one that ran the one shot that I did that in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. All right, fair.
But that's the defining feature of the druid class. That's why I like them so much, is because you can turn into animals. You can turn into something so small as a spider you can sit, crawl under a doorway and then listen to a conversation you wouldn't have been able to hear otherwise. You can turn into a cat and follow someone as a street cat, you know. You can use it as a bear to fight fiercely in battle. You can use it as, you know, transportation as a giant eagle to get your party from one place to another. They're just so versatile, and like the way you use the beast shapes can be so versatile as well. It doesn't just have to be like I turn into a bear and I claw and I bite and I use my spell slots to restore my health. You can do that. You can totally do that.
So what you're saying
it doesn't
is
have to be.
Druids are the best way to split a party.
Oh, totally. You want to split a party, have a druid, because then you can have like a druid and then one other person on one side, and then like the rest of the party go somewhere else and then meet in the middle. It's the perfect plan. I always encourage this plan.
It's always great. It's always fun splitting the party. That's rule number one.
Always split the party. Yes.
Always split the party.
Always.
Especially if there's a druid.
Especially if there's a druid.
I mean...
But
go on.
So we had a druid in our campaign for a while. She ended up leaving for personal reasons, which is awesome. But what I like about them is that they're so versatile with, they're still spellcasters, but they can also tank, but they can also heal, but they can also change on the fly, pun intended. To really fit the need for whatever the situation is.
Yeah. So to break down the druid class a little bit, you got a D8 hit die. You can cast spells, and the spells that you cast are prepared on a daily basis when you finish a long rest. So you can change them up depending on what you're doing, which is pretty nice. One of my druids, nope, does not do that. Ever. She never changes her spells. That's just how she rolls. You use wisdom and intelligence for your spell casting and a lot of your mechanics-based abilities. And then there's a bunch of different circles. So you can pick. I'm just going to go down the list here on D&D Beyond because that's the best. It's the best outline. It is the best outline for this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start off Circle of Dreams. Those are your very Feywild. What is that aesthetic? A lot of healing, a lot of buffs there. Circle of Spores, you're getting into like mushrooms, fungal things, super duper fun flavor class, like subclass there. There is, I played a Loxodon Druid Circle of the Spore and it was, she was so fun. She was.
I love the like automatic damage mm-hmm. that they can do every round from the spore
yes.
burst.
Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. But if you can't get in range or, you know, something happens, then it does basically nothing. And there That's goes your true. Wild shape ability. Like,
That's true.
There's trade-offs for some of these ridiculous abilities. And then you have Circle of the Land, which is very heavy in spell casting. And depending on what terrain you started off in as a druid will influence some of the flavor spells that you can take. Like you can take different spike growth for an Arctic druid or slow, which is a freaking wonderful spell. And these are actually spells that are actually built into the class. So when you get to a certain level, you can automatically have the spell prepared. It doesn't count towards your spells.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, it's super duper heavy spell casting. So if you want to be a spell casting druid and you want all your things to be thematic, then go Circle of the Land. That's just super duper fun. But that's probably one of my favorite druids. Aster Underbow, she is a halfling and she is extremely curious. She's a very studious druid. She probably could have been classified as a wizard. And I actually think, Lee, I played her as a wizard one time in a one-shot with you.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yes. But she was originally a Circle of the Land druid. And I just had so much fun because, you know, you get the interactions because halflings are so small. You got the interactions with little critters and everything she did was like spell casting from nature. It was just a lot of fun. But she was extremely curious about how everything works. She wanted to know how everything worked.
So back to the prepared spells, I've actually got a player in a campaign that I run that picked a druid. And they are about to be level 6, and he just realized that he prepares spells every day. So for 5 levels, he's been running around using, what is it? Like magic stone.
So hold
or something
on.
Like
hold
that.
On. Magic stone is a cantrip. Flame blade. And it is probably my favorite cantrip in the game, aside from Vicious Mockery.
It is, but what he has done is he would like produce his flame sword or whatever in one hand and attack with that, and he would bonus action make a magic stone. But then he would never do anything with the magic stone.
You're supposed to just
throw it.
So
he would literally walk around through these battles and like attack with his sword and then
you know the
make
stones
a magic stone
only last for a minute.
And attack
right?
with his sword. I know.
Aww.
And he didn't use them outside of combat either. And then at the end of the last session, we're sitting around talking about something. And I think he was looking at what spells he was going to take when he leveled up. And we were looking over stuff. And we're like, why do you keep using these same ones? He goes, oh, because it's the spells I picked. You pick them every day. I was like, what? Yes, you have this gigantic spell list. And you are using the same spell in the same cantrip.
Poor guy.
Every time. And that's it.
You know.
Oh, man.
You don't have to change your spells. You don't.
That's true. That's true.
my my Circle of the Moon druid. Nope, she's more concerned with just being animals and like changing into things than actually casting spells. So first off, I've never taken any sort of healing spell for her. We just got to level what, 7, and I took her into Moon Druid for what, 5 levels, or no, we just got to level 6 in Druid, and then level 3, we're level 8 now. 9. I can count. I can totally count. I can totally count.
7, 6, 5, 8, 9.
We've gone through almost all the numbers at this point.
I can totally count. So she's 6th level druid, 3rd level barbarian. She has absolutely zero interest in healing. She's not really into changing up her spells very much. She picked her spells that she likes, and that's what she uses for the most part. And she just runs in and hits things with as a bear. But that's what she does.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
No, not at all.
She's a very angry bear.
That's what I did as a druid, so it was great fun.
You know, it is. It can it be is. Totally fun.
Yeah.
And that actually, that brings us to Circle of the Moon's druid on here. So those are the druids that like people think of when they're like, oh, druids overpowered. They're thinking of moon druids. Mm-hmm. Because moon druids can turn into higher level beasts, because depending on what level you are as a druid, will alter what CR rating of creatures you can turn into.
Right.
It's also affected by what terrain you've experienced and what creatures you've interacted with. So if you're from the ocean, you can't turn into a wolf. You've never seen a wolf. Sorry.
I think that's fair, though.
And you...
Oh, there's a lake. Let me change it to a dolphin.
Like, you don't know what a dolphin looks like. And, you know, when people are like, oh, well, what if I show you a picture? You know, I read it in a book. Well, if you look at, like, when Europeans were going out and exploring continents and drawing things that they saw there, like the drawing of a rhinoceros or a cheetah, and they brought it back. Well, that depends on the angle that the artist saw it from, what the artist interpreted, their style. Like,
sure.
you can't gather that from a picture. You can't figure out how a cheetah would move and actually interact with its environment through a picture. You can't do that.
Nope.
So all that depends on where you come from and like what level you are, where you've been in your campaign. Mm-hmm. But moon druids are mostly the shapeshifters. They turn into animals and generally are the ones that are going to get in combat as animals. They have a pretty cool feature where they can burn spell slots to give themselves a D8 hit die per spell level. As a bonus action.
Oh, that's cool.
Pretty freaking sweet.
That's real cool. I didn't even know
but
that.
But that's why people say that they're overpowered. Because if you are, say, a moon druid at a high level and you turn into a bear and get into combat or whatever, then you can just on your turn, you can use your multi-attack and then you can, as your bonus action, get 2d8 health back by burning a second level spell slot.
That's good.
Kind of nice.
That's real nice.
Yeah.
Kind of nice.
Damn.
But that's that's one less spell you have to cast later.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the trade-off. It's like being able to just cast Cure Wounds on yourself as whatever animal you are.
Yeah. Cool. Hmm.
I mean, that's still pretty handy in a pinch, though. Even if you're not making it like your every turn kind of thing, but...
I mean, you're going to run out of spell slots eventually, right?
Sure, yeah. But, I mean, if you're focused on just bearing it up, then use those spell slots. Yeah. Why not?
Totally. And that's why Nope doesn't take any healing.
She doesn't need it.
I enjoy
they don't even
that
give her any
point,
any potions. I was a little angry when I made her. It's fine. We've.
It's all good.
We've been there.
Well,
we've been there.
Her full nail, her fur nail. Words. I can math. Yep. I can talk too.
Her fur nail. We're going math and talk about
so
fur
nails.
That's
going to be the little introduction audio thing.
Uh huh.
I'm really good at talking.
It's great. I'm sorry. You were attempting to say something.
So you were talking about rum where earlier?
But you used a glass because you're classy.
I did use a glass.
Yeah, okay.
It was a very small glass.
I think the empty bottle is in the glass. Kitchen.
Her full name is actually Ellie Joybell Nopenstalen, but Nope seemed like way better.
Yeah, okay.
Because she's a gnome. Nope the gnome. She's a very angry, sarcastic person.
That's good.
It's great. Her name fits her to a T.
Awesome. But there's more druids, right? There are so many circles.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's only two more circles on D&D Beyond. So we're going to talk about those. And one of them's new. So there's Circle of the Shepherd, which is the one that I've never actually played. Because I don't hate my DMs. These are the summoning druids. They summon spirits and they summon animals to them.
Oh boy. That is my kind of druid right there. You guys do this for me.
I like that.
Yes, it's a pretty fun one, I think. But at the same time, Nope summoned, what was it, 8 giant eagles last game, and my DM was very unhappy. I completely understand why. But that's why I haven't played Circle of the Shepherd, because it's a very summony class. So if you're one of those people who normally plays wizards, who likes conjuration things, it might be a pretty fun thing to mix it up a little bit. Because you're conjuring fey creatures. And who doesn't like that? Let's see. Just double checking to see if there's anything about this class that looks super duper awesome that I haven't noticed before. These spirit actions are pretty interesting. You can summon a different type of spirit, a bear, hawk, or unicorn. The bear gives temporary hit points to each creature in its aura, equal to 5 plus your druid level. So you get bonus hit points. Or you can do hawk, which... you have advantage on perception checks while you're in the aura.
Cool.
Unicorn can gain advantage on ability checks, which is super cool. Nice. So if you're in one of those, what are they called? I'm really good with words. Puzzles. If you're in a like puzzles or anything like that, where you're doing ability checks and you know you need a little help, but you don't have a cleric, sometimes you got a druid
who has a unicorn friend.
Yes, unicorns are great.
That's amazing. So this is like actually like now there's a unicorn next to me.
It's not necessarily a unicorn itself. It's a unicorn spirit.
That's kind of better.
You have a phantasmal unicorn.
You know,
that appears.
It is a bonus action to call it.
It just radiates
it's like a Patronus.
Good luck.
And it's got a 30-foot aura, 30-foot radius on that.
Yes. That's wicked.
Nice.
Lasts for a minute or until you're incapacitated, too.
That seems fair.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And then the last one is the Circle of Wildfire. And this one was just released as playtest content. And I was looking at this one earlier, and I really want to be able to playtest it in something someday, because it looks super cool. It looks like it's all about essentially burning things to give life.
So you're like a phoenix kind of thing.
Kind of.
I'm kind all of? About yes. this.
Right?
That, yeah.
Set it all yes. on fire. It's okay. I'm not destroying it. I'm making something exactly. grow.
Their spell list is locate animals or plants, scorching ray, fireball, plant growth, aura of life, fire shield, fire strike, raise dead. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep.
I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down for that druid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Wow. So, oh man.
They can summon yes. wildfire?
What?
Yep. And when it summons the wildfire, anything standing within 10 feet, other than you, so friend or foe, must make a dex save against your spell DC or take 2d10 fire damage.
Oh man. Now I'm just picturing that
yes.
Elmo gif with his arms out wide, with like the fire behind it.
Yes. Like, that's beautiful.
It's going to be my druid. That guy right there.
I'm going to make an Elmo druid just now.
Elmo the druid.
You think that's maybe a goblin? Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to make that a goblin.
Oh Elmo's, my gosh.
Elmo's a goblin druid. This yes. is going to be great.
That's too good.
That needs to be a thing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to play that druid.
We that should be all my second yeah. druid.
Can we oh just play a campaign or at least just a one shot where everybody's wildfire druids and we just walk around walking pyromaniacs?
We're all goblin wildfire druids.
Yes.
Yeah.
That are running rampant in like a city. Mm hmm. Mm hmm.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like an Please. Evil one shot. We just burn the city to the ground.
So that'll really have to be a one shot because I don't think any DM could handle that as a campaign.
The consequences on that would be a little rough.
Like,
see, half of me.
I don't care who you are. You're not going to be able to run that game for long.
Okay. Half of me really wants to play that, and the other half of me really wants to run that. So.
Well, I'm coming to Atlanta, so
that's true.
You got a little bit of time to see if you can get anybody to volunteer as DM.
Oh, geez.
And if not, then you can DM.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Pyro goblins, come on.
Yes.
Pyro goblins. That's too good.
Yes.
Anyways.
I have to play this druid, though, seriously.
Druids. Why druids, though? Like, what? Why?
I just want to turn into animals, Lee, okay? I just want to turn into all the animals.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, or fire. Right, or, you know, fire Elmo.
Why not both?
Yeah.
Why
not both?
Yeah. All right, so I understand the appeal of turning into animals. I get that. But like, are there any other like real draws to choosing a druid over something else other than wild shape?
I'd say the versatility of the class, because I've played so many druids and they're all so different from each other and they specialize in different things and it's using the same core spell list, but you can make it very different depending on who you're playing and what kind of fighter you want to be. If you want to be up in melee, you can take things like Flame Blade. You can take things that will keep you in the back portion of the group with other ranged attacks. Pick your poison. But you can do so many different things with it while staying in that same class, in that same spell list, in the same ability generalities. But completely take it a different way and be a completely different character. And then multi-classing with it is just, it's just beautiful.
I really feel like with those subclasses, Druid is almost a multi-class without multi-classing.
That's true.
because it's one where depending on which circle you pick, you're basically a nature fighter, or, you know, you're this, like, you know, nature wizard or nature warlock and things like that. So you're getting the benefits of this very in tune with earth and nature mm-hmm. character that a lot of people like to play for mm-hmm. that reason. But you're like, man, I really want to hit things too. So let me go this kind of fighter druid way or whatever that case may be. But they have it built into the class, which is really,
it is really cool. It is really cool. I think their spell list is one of the most versatile spell lists that's really out there.
Yeah.
I mean, other than bards, but bards are, that's a whole different.
That's a different episode. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but.
That, I mean, that's.
Yeah. But.
You could go on.
Yeah. This isn't about bards. And I'm going to bring up bards in every episode until we do bards.
I mean. But, I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's. They really are a good option between that melee and magic casting sort of feel without going like straight up holy, like with a paladin or a cleric, or like sort of creepy with the warlock.
I mean, you can totally take it creepy.
Sure. you can take it creepy, but it doesn't have that, like, you're not bound to something. You're not bound to a god. You're not bound to a deity or a patron or whatever. Like, you, nature is running through you, which is giving you these abilities, powers, things, whatever, your circles and all that kind of jazz. And I think the availability is just so much more vast.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're cool.
They're super cool.
They can't wear metal, right?
No. Traditionally, they can't. However, dragon scale is not metal.
Sure, but then you got to get dragon scale, or you got to buy dragon scale.
I mean, there's also different ways to get around that with, like, I have a wooden shield, or, you know, take leather armor, or if you find some sort of creature with a shell-like exterior, you can see if you can take that to your local smith or whatever closest to that material. See if they can make it into some custom armor for you or something like that.
Now I'm just thinking of like Kroll's shell from Descent into Avernus and being like, I just found this shell somewhere. Can you make me some armor out of it?
Why the heck not?
Why not? Why not?
Why the heck not? This is fantasy.
Yeah, okay. All right. I get that. I guess I'm just so used to like chainmail and plate and like swords and stuff that. Can you still wield a sword?
Yes. I think the thing about, and I could be entirely wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the thing about metal armor is that the armor being on the person like disconnects them from the nature that gives them the magic.
Okay.
Something like that. I'm not 100% sure, because they can still use scimitars. They can still use daggers. They can use scythes. And those all have metal in them. And frankly, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent. Metal comes from the earth.
See, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes, you have to refine it, but you also have to refine grain to break bread.
Sure. Like, well, and like, you can't just wear a tree. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys.
Nope.
You gotta refine it.
It's true.
And the cotton or whatever you use to make clothing, you gotta refine that too.
It's true.
So
it's
why?
True. Part of the process, guys. I mean, go find a dwarf. Tell them that metal's not from from the ground. Do it. I dare you.
Always back to dwarves.
Yep.
Hey, but right now I'm supporting the dwarves, so.
You know, that's true. Actually, you're telling people how to aggravate dwarves.
I was going to say, that sounded like a very backhanded support.
That's the best they're going to get, okay?
I mean, but also with things like swords and whatnot, when's the last time you saw a sword that just had a straight metal grip on it?
That's true.
Like, they're always wrapped in leather or something like that. Like, when you hold a sword, you're not technically grabbing metal most of the time.
Yeah. It's true.
Then you can go, like, full on Minecraft and just have, like, a diamond sword.
Because maybe you could do that, too.
Super cool. That'd be
awesome.
Now I just want, like, stone swords. What if we made our, like, magical stone things into stone weapons? Like, in their entirety. Okay, now we're going off on tangents.
Yep.
Anyways.
I feel like I just witnessed a moment there.
You did.
You might have.
I feel so honored.
Anyways. I know what my party's getting next. Now Joe's getting ideas. So, thank you for talking druids with us. This is great fun, and I think druids are awesome, and an hour shift time is not enough. Those are my ending comments.
It depends on what level you are for shift time, but it's fine.
Sure,
it's true.
Sure.
Low level druids get that hour shift time.
It's half your druid level. Round it down, because why the heck not?
Why not? Well, I should just stay a bear forever.
Yeah.
It's just going to be my life.
I mean,
I think they have spells for that.
They do have spells for that.
That's why I play a bard. Anyways.
Druids have access to true polymorph too, thank you.
Yep.
This is about druids, Lee.
Bards are great. Bards are wonderful.
We're going to have to go ahead and do the bard episode next so we can get
I was
going to
say, should I just stick around and we can talk bards?
Maybe.
All right.
Anyways, if people want to get in contact with you, Eris, and talk to you about druids and or all the cool, super amazing, awesome stuff that you make, how can they do that?
Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter is probably the best place. It's Aris_Savad, Aras_Sivad. That's pretty much my stomping grounds for just about everything that I'm doing. I'm playing in a couple different campaigns. I got another campaign starting, in which I'm playing a druid/monk.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Can I just say, I love druid monk combos. They're just, oh, so good. I am a full-time Stitch Witch right now, and I make a bunch of gaming supplies, and you can find all that at airsavad.com. And I do custom work, too.
It is good stuff.
Yep.
As I look real at good stuff. My trays that I have right there.
Trays.
Both with the same image inside.
I mean, the first one I made for you, the second one, you got that one.
I did. I had to have it. I have, all of them. I have a type, all right?
It's fine. Next time I get tentacle fabric, I'll let you know.
Yes. That's it, right?
That's just about it. Yeah. I do a lot of stuff. It's all on Twitter.
Sure. We could probably stop recording now.
Yep, probably. Thank you.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod. And of course, last but not least, sonerdwear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at sonerdwear. So you can go to sonerdwear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.